Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. My name is Parkhopper John. I come to you from WDWParkhoppers.com. Joining me, as always, is the lovable, the huggable. Be nice to him because he's got a little bit of New Jersey sunburn. Mr. Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com. Little sunburn there, pal.
I got a little red glow. I had to go all the way to New Jersey to get a sunburn because there's no sun here in Florida.
Oh, dude, that's so, wait.
Apparently, they keep it under wraps or something.
Yeah, hang on. there you go.
As I look at my weather station, saying it's 88 with 58% humidity.
Welcome back to Florida.
Exactly.
So we're very excited that you're here today. We have a great show for you. We're going to be talking about all the news from all around the world of Disney parks and resorts. But our show, Tony, It's sponsored by
a VIP concierge service. It's sponsored by VIP. It's sponsored by ThemeParkConcierge.com. You can contact Ramon at 407-257-9973. Him and his team will help you make the best vacation you can here in Central Florida, as they can take care of fast passes and dining reservations and take you around the park and really let you get the most out of your park visit. They could do Walt Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, Busch Gardens, Space Coast, all those kind of things. Contact them at themeparkconcierge.com or 407-257-9973. Tell them the Disney Parks Podcast sent you, and you'll get 10% off your invoice.
All right, Ken. Oh, I'm sorry. I was jumping all over your line there. And you'll notice that tonight I am sporting the Big Al Country Bear Jamboree t-shirt from the Disney by the Numbers t-shirt club. There's a link over on the Disney Parks Podcast website. You can go click that. You could go over there and you could join the t-shirt club. It was a private club for a long time. Now it's open to the public and going like gangbusters from what I understand.
Oh, yeah.
And the cool thing is the shirts are very economical, $13. You heard me, $13. And you've got, like me, I'm a plus size guy, so I get plus sizes. It's only like a couple bucks more. Nice. Oftentimes they have men's shirts and women's shirts, specific sizes, specific cuts. Yep. And they're really, really good. You only buy the shirts that you want. If they come out with a shirt 1 month and you're like, nah, it's not my favorite, you don't have to buy it. So it's just the best possible t-shirt club. The quality is equally as good, if not better, than what you buy in the parks. The price is, gosh, so, so much better. Yeah. And you're supporting guys like Tony and our designer buddy, who is just all around great people. So definitely go sign up for the Disney by the Numbers t-shirt club as soon as you can. You can find that link over on the Disney Parks Podcast website.
Yep. And if you can, don't forget that we are on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and all those things. If you can, share the show with anybody, like it, review it, and do all those kind of things. That also helps promote the show. All right, John, you ready?
I'm ready. It's that time get into the news.
The news.
Hey, before we do that, got to say hi to Vince and Krista.
So, oh, all right.
Not that Krista, because she's busy doing something else right now. From what
I'm sure she is.
Okay.
I'm sure she's getting kicked. I mean, kicking it.
Kicking it.
Yeah.
So if you're like me, you're a big fan of Guardians of the Galaxy, and I heard a crazy rumor a couple months ago. Apparently, it's true. Guardians of the Galaxy to break out at Disney California Adventure Park beginning summer of 2017. The outrageous and irreverent gang will appear in Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, which is a comically high-energy, rocking new adventure. The guests will be right in the mix with characters from the blockbuster Guardians of the Galaxy film. They did a great video with Joe Rohde. He was talking about this. Basically, they're completely taking the Tower of Terror. Currently at Disney California Adventure. They're not touching the one at Walt Disney World. Again, this is only at Disney California Adventure. And they're transforming it into a Guardians of the Galaxy theme. So basically, you're going to be walking through the collector's collection. Instead of walking through the hotel, you're going to be walking through the collection. And apparently, all the Guardians are going to be in this collection. You have to help save them. So that's going to be pretty cool. Deep inside the Fortress Light collection, the mysterious Tanalir Tivian, or the Collector, is displaying his newest acquisitions. Joe Rohde said he is now he is imprisoned in the Guardians of the Galaxy, and they will be hanging in display cases over a giant abyss. The captor doesn't know it, but Rocket Raccoon has escaped and is enlisting our aid. All the guests will help the Guardians in a breakout scheme. Kevin Feige added, the incredibly talented Disney Imagineering team has found a way to harness the spirit which drove Guardians of the Galaxy's success in a way to create this immersive experience. With its debut time to the release of the film sequel, Disney is eager to present the attraction to the millions who visit Disney California Adventure and place them in the center of the action to join a mission alongside the audacious Guardians of the Galaxy team. And from what I understand, this is going to be like the gateway to the Marvel world inside of California Adventure, right?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. I'm sad that we're not going to see any of this, maybe, because of Universal being, you know, here and having, I think, access to these Marvel characters. So, we're also doing a story later where they're doing some testing over in Epcot. We'll get to that. But so that also then makes me think that something might be happening here.
Yes, I've heard rumors of that too. So I'm looking forward to putting into that. We'll talk about it when the news hits. But that's exciting, though. I mean, that just makes it more exciting for me when we go out for California Adventure to be able to ride the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. Anything that connects me with Guardians, I'm down with it. I'm so excited about the press stuff they did at Hall H from Comic-Con last weekend.
Yeah. Right.
Really cool stuff. I'm very excited to see what Kurt Russell. Unfortunately, I spoiled myself. I spoiled who Kurt Russell is in the movie, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Sylvester Stallone. Do you know Stallone was in the new one?
Who is?
Sylvester Stallone.
Mickey. I'm coming, Nicholas.
Hey, Star-Lord. I don't know about you.
Rocket, come over here.
I think Groot's getting his ass kicked. And
it's funny. You know, that's weird now because Mark Silverman does the voice of the Tower of Terror and also does a very good Sylvester Stallone. So
we should pay him to do this voice of Sylvester Stallone doing the Tower of Terror intro.
Yes.
I would pay money for that.
Yes, that's what we should do.
That'd be fun.
I'm writing that down.
Dear Mark Silverman.
Mark,
you might not remember us.
No, he knows us. I text him every now and again. Mark as Sly on TOT. Perfect. That's perfect. That's classic.
You're entering a world. I don't know, man.
Yeah, he tells a great story that he was on Larry King as Sylvester Stallone's mother was on Larry King. He called in and pretended to be Sylvester Stallone, and his mother couldn't even tell the difference.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So he does a good Sylvester. If you can fool his mother, you know, somebody's mother.
That's cool.
That's pretty good. Hey, Halloween is just around the corner, and we still don't have an announcement of anything that Disney's doing here at Walt Disney World. Disneyland's made their announcement, and now Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea has made their announcement. So at Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea, the special event, Disney Halloween, what a very creative name. It sure took you days to think of that.
Well, you know, they did it on a budget.
Will take place at Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea. I am shocked. I'm shocked. From September 9th to October 31st, during this special event period, guests can also enjoy the Halloween atmosphere at the Disney hotels and on the Disney Resort line. The Disney-style Halloween event will provide families and friends even more enjoyment and fun at the Tokyo Disney Resort. The special event at Tokyo Disneyland Park will be themed to a Halloween music festival. I'm shocked. Mickey Mouse and his Disney friends join ghosts and skeleton stars in entertaining guests with a variety of amusing and exciting musical performances in Halloween Poppin' Live, presented along with the parade route. Each of the units in this parade will be uniquely themed to a different genre of music and decorated with jack-o'-lanterns, skeletons, and other Halloween motif. The Disney friends wearing Halloween costumes that match the theme of the units will appear on the floats as fun and dynamic music plays, making guests want to dance along with the decorations in the World Bazaar, and that's like their main street there, the World Bazaar, if you're wondering what that is, and around the plaza, also featuring the Halloween music festival theme. Guests will find a lively atmosphere filling the park. Over at Tokyo Disney Sea Park, which is currently holding the Disney's Tokyo Sea 15th anniversary, the Year of Wishes special event, will present a cool but eerie Halloween event themed to the Disney villains. I like that. So they're going a whole park doing that. That's a cool idea. This year, to celebrate the park's 15th anniversary, the Disney villains will make even more exciting villain-style Halloween with Mickey Mouse and Disney friends presented at the Mediterranean Harbor. Will be the villains' world wishes and desires. In the Harbor Show, the Disney villains take the leading role and they put on their best performances to attract and impress Disney friends and Disney guests. Dressed in costumes inspired by Disney villains, Mickey and his friends and all the guests join in the party and raise the level of Halloween excitement. We're going to have to find video of this stuff and put it up on the YouTube channel because this will be fun to see. I think they pull out the stops over there in Tokyo for some of these things. So
yeah,
nice
they're way more serious about it than we are.
Yeah, it's nice that they're doing a whole park as a, you know, a villain thing and not just, you know, having a villain party. You know, they're just doing the pulling out the whole park, which is cool. So, hey, if you don't, if you have a magic band and you think it's boring as hell because it's just a stupid little color of green or the now purple, hey, contact our friends at magicyourbands.com. They have hundreds of different styles and types, and they have carbon fiber and all kinds of different designs. You can either create your own design or you can buy one of their designs. Either way, you will come off with a beautiful band that you can wear. You can customize them by putting your name or dates or anniversaries or all those kinds of things. Go check out Magic Your Bands by going to Disney Parks Podcast website. Click on the link that says Magic Your Bands, and there you'll get over there and check them out. And don't forget to use the coupon code Disney Parks Podcast, all one word, at checkout to save 10% off. And our good friends Matt and Tracy are in town. I'm hoping to catch up with them this week, I think Friday night. So they're in town. They were at Disneyland. I think they wanted to see the 60th before it went away. So they were over there, and now they're back over here. So
nice.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Good folks. Good folks over there.
Yep.
Well, hey, if you are one of those people who are trying to be very calorie conscious, Disney is doing you a solid and adding calorie counts to the counter service menu boards. At a few of the selected service menus at Walt Disney World, they are now going to start showing guests the amount of calories that they are going to consume in each dish. The concept is being tested at a few counter service locations around the property. So far, it's been spotted at the Columbia Harbor House, Magic Kingdom, and the Backlot Express. That's still there. I thought they got rid of that.
Yeah.
Backlot Express at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and menus are handed out to guests are also featuring the information as well. So the question becomes, is this something that they're going to roll out park-wide, resorts and park-wide, or you think this is just, I think once people start seeing how much food calories they're going to be consuming, they're going to be like, I'm on vacation.
Yeah. I always thought there weren't any calories in Disney, but you know that was what I was told. There are no calories at Disney World.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, once you cross onto property, calories, time, and money don't matter.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Vince was asking how many calories are in a Mickey bar. I don't even want to know. You know what? It would be good. I mean, you know, in New York City, it's the law. It has to be on everything. If they're starting to do it in the parks on the quick service, eventually it'll probably cross over into the you know, the dining in the restaurants and things like that as well.
Right.
You know, it just makes it, I think, a little bit harder, you know, for the chefs, because, you know, then they have to put together the complete ingredient lists so that, you know, somebody can go then calculate the amount of calories in that particular food item. You know, it's not that they don't have that information, but, you know, they're just going to have to, you know, calculate it then. And, I don't think they're going to do it. I think there'll be a team of people, you know, that'll do it, you know, back. But it'd be interesting. I don't really pay attention much to the calories on a menu, and maybe I should, you know.
Well, I'm the last person that needs to be talking about, you know, paying attention to calories. But if this is something that's important to you, it's nice that Disney is doing that for you. And if you, you know, you don't want to go on vacation, just blow your diet. I get that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It can't hurt if Disney's willing to put the information out there. I'm not going to pay that much attention to it. But I know for some people it's very important, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's good. Overall, I think it's good.
Yeah. You know, just to make a quick little side tangent on this subject, you know, the FDA is thinking about changing, you know, the information that you they're in the process of changing what you see on the nutritional information on packages.
Wow.
But there was a rumor going around that they were going to change it, not even to calories, but it would tell you, you know, if you had a portion of chips, let's say in this bag of chips,
right,
how much, you know, it would take you 30 minutes to walk this off or 15 minutes to run this off.
Hmm.
So that people can go, oh, wait a minute, if I have, you know, a whole serving of these chips, I'm going to have to, you know, possibly walk for 30 minutes. Or if I eat two servings, I'm going to have to walk for an hour or run for 30 minutes. So, you know, that may put things into more perspective, because really when you look at the calories, for some people, what does that mean? You know, exercise-wise or, you know, whatever. So it'll be interesting if that actually comes to fruition. And then, you know, everybody will have to be changing their, you know, if you eat this filet mignon and mashed potatoes and, you know, whatever, you know, you're going to have to run for an hour. So it'll just be interesting. But we'd be interesting to see what you all think out there, too.
Right.
You know, if you have a thought or a comment on this, you know, send it to us. You know, DisneyParksPodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to talk about it. So,
yeah. And hey, if you love the show as much as we do, we would encourage you to go visit our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/DisneyParksPodcast. And you can help support the show. We have to pay hosting. We have to pay for some other things that we do throughout the year. We have to pay for some of the goodie bags and things that we put together to give to you guys. And so we have some expenses, and we're trying to kind of crowdfund to keep the show free as we can. But if you like the show and want to support the show, please visit patreon.com/DisneyParksPodcast. We want to definitely give a shout out to our current Patreons. We want to say David, Stacy, Willie, and Eva. Thank you so very much. You are helping us way more than you know, and we appreciate it. If you want to be as awesome as these guys are, definitely go visit our Patreon page. You can also find a link on the website at DisneyParksPodcast.com.
Yeah, so talking about calories, turkey legs and baked potatoes at the studios are out starting August 2nd. So starting August 2nd, guests can no longer find turkey legs at Disney's Hollywood Studios. The seasonally operated Tuscaloosa, whatever, Toluca Legs Turkey Company on Sunset Boulevard will be renamed to the Sunshine Day Cafe and offering new menu items, but it's very rarely ever open. And that's true. And I still don't know why. If you have it, you should open it. That's just me. Meanwhile, the removal of the turkey legs will free up some room at the Fairfax Fair to add baked potatoes. A baked potato option will include a 1-pound baking potato with a tri-tip beef gravy and white cheddar, as well as the loaded Fairfax potato, including sour cream, cheddar, and bacon. Turkey legs were also removed from the Animal Kingdom as well, but Yak and Yeti counter service window now sells their version of the treat. So it's not the exact same as the old, but it's a version of a turkey leg. Epcot and Magic Kingdom do currently still offer the turkey legs, but for how long? So I guess, they're trying to give us more healthy options too. I don't know if loading up a baked potato with sour cream, white cheddar, and beef is as healthy as just the turkey leg.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, we grew up with certain things. You know, eating a turkey leg at a theme park is one of those right. mainstays. It's not just a Disney thing, although it's been one of those things that Disney's had for years, much so that they've got a stinking, air freshener turkey leg that you can purchase. I cannot imagine a world where you cannot get a turkey leg at a Walt Disney World theme park. Yeah. I can't fathom that. But I guess, as the song says, the times, they are a-changing.
Yeah, exactly. I am not a fan of the turkey leg, and please don't send me the email about the turkey leg. I don't like the smell. I don't like the taste. I just think it looks like Fred Flintstone walking around with a brontosaurus leg, gnawing on a bone. It's just very weird looking for me. And I don't know. Maybe I don't like the briny. I know that thing is brined to hell and back.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wondering if they're getting rid of it because they don't want to offend the non-meat eaters or the pita crowd.
Or the gluten eaters or whatever.
Whatever. I could see them doing that. Yeah. Vince in the chat room's got a great suggestion. We need a turkey leg meetup. Well, Tony won't be there. We'll get him some tofu. Yeah.
Just give me an egg roll over Yak and Yeti. Yeah.
We'll get him some tofu. That'd be
Hey, I'm a tofu leg.
Hey, let me ask you this: Are you trying to get all the Disney emojis?
I am, and after you tell us the story, I will tell you my story about this.
Okay. Well, after I get done telling you that story, and you tell your story, then I'll tell my story.
Okay.
So, if you're a big fan of Disney and Disney parks, and then you're eating up with have to use the Disney emojis. There's some news. The new Disney Emoji Blitz, which is a game for mobile devices where players can collect and play with hundreds of Disney and Pixar emojis, can now earn you some special Disney park emojis. Disney Emoji Blitz is the first mobile game connected to a custom keyboard and features more than 400 emojis of Disney and Pixar characters, including Little Mermaid, Lion King, Cinderella, Frozen, Finding Dory, Muppets, Toy Story, etc. It's a fast-paced match-3 game. Disney Emoji Blitz lets players match emojis to score points. Think Candy Crush with Disney emojis. It's the same concept.
Or even like Tetris kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like Tetris, yeah. Each emoji collected blasts the board with expressive power-ups like icing away emojis with Elsa from Frozen or scaring emojis with Sully from Monsters, Inc. So players complete missions to boost their score, and they earn prizes such as rare Disney park-themed Mickey Premium Bar. God, say that 10 times fast. Yeah. Matterhorn and Mickey Mouse hat emojis. Now, once an emoji is collected within a game, it's also unlocked in the Disney Emoji Blitz keyboard, which can be used to send Disney and Pixar emojis to friends and messages via your regular text messages. You can download the Disney Emoji Blitz now for free with an in-app purchase on the App Store and Google Play. New Disney and Pixar-themed emojis will be added in the coming months. So you tell your story, I'll tell mine.
Yeah, so I have the game. And I was digging it, and I wanted to make a little in-app purchase. So I went to buy some gems, the $1.99 purchase. And I made the purchase, and nothing happened. I did not get my little gems added to my account. So I emailed Disney Interactive, which is very hard to find. And I have an iPhone. So in the iTunes store, you have to wait until they batch your purchase, and then once it's batched and processed, you can then click on it and then say, hey, you want a refund, and why do you want a refund? And as soon as I said, well, I didn't get the things I did, they gave me the $1.99 refund. That was great. Fine. So a couple days later, I'm playing the game again, and I hit a new level, and it shows me the leaderboard and freezes. It won't let me out. I cancel the game. I restart my phone. Every time I go in, it does the same thing. I turn it off again, restart it, completely frozen. The only thing I could do was delete it, and now I have to restart all over again. So I got to, I don't know, level 6 or whatever the hell it was, and now I'm all the way back to level 3 again. So I email that back to Disney Interactive. I'm like, hey, I got to all the way to this level. You showed me the leaderboard. I couldn't get out of it. Every button I hit, nothing happened. She goes, oh, yeah, you tried this, this, and this. Everything I did, I said to her, yeah, I tried all those things, still, it doesn't work. I had to re-download the game and start all over again. Thank you very much. So she said there's been bugs, and it's a buggy thing. So I may tell you, I like the game. It's fun. It's interesting. I do like the emoji part of it, but be very cautious. I would not make any purchases until they get the bugs fixed, and I don't know when that'll be. And just be careful. Don't go to the leaderboard, because apparently that is not working either. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
All right. So you know me. If you've ever listened to the show, you know that Tony will be the first in line to do anything tech-oriented, and I'm always the cautious one. So I read an article about the Disney emoji thing, and I thought, oh, that's kind of cool, and I'll play the game. Did you notice when you signed on for the game what you were giving permission for Disney to do?
I don't even want to know what I was giving permission for Disney to do.
Okay, as a podcaster, I feel like I have to at least say this, just so that you know, eyes wide open. When you agree to the terms of service for the game, you are giving Disney permission to use the information that you are transmitting using the Disney Emoji keyboard. But what it doesn't say, the Disney Emoji keyboard, it says using the keyboard that you use to send text. So anything that you send, once you give Disney full permission to use your keyboard,
God.
You can save. Now, the trick is you cannot use the Disney emojis unless you give Disney full permission and access to your phone.
Mm.
So I was like, I'm really uncomfortable with this. And then I turned it off. And when the second I turned it off, I lost all my emojis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I try not to ever read the Eulers. Because I would probably never leave my house. I would want to be, safely cocooned in bubble wrap, sitting on my sofa, and not, not do anything.
I get it. I understand. And I
knowingly have given up my right to privacy. I've surrendered to that. That it's going to be very, the cat is out of the bag. I can't get the cat back in the bag now. You know,
I don't, I'm not willing to just throw that out willy-nilly and just say it's out of the bag. And yes, I use Google, but I certainly don't use Google for certain things. Yeah. You know, I'm not really comfortable with Disney having access to everything that I send on the keyboard and my phone.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with anybody having that much access. Not that I don't like Disney, but I'm just, why would that be a prerequisite to use these stupid emojis? There's got to be data that they're mining.
No, they need access to your keyboard because you're using a keyboard to, you know, tap out the emoji that you want.
Totally understand that. But the problem is they tell you in the agreement.
I don't think they're getting access to the things you type. I think they need access to your keyboard so they can produce the emoji.
Go back and read the agreement, buddy.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Okay. All right.
Listen, if I write something bad, well, it's usually about Disney, they can certainly see that. I have no qualms about that.
Understood. Well, that's I've said my piece and we can move forward.
All right. We really didn't get an answer to last week's trivia, which is fine. I am going to give you this week's trivia question. And this week's trivia is also Disneyland oriented. And in the main entrance to Disneyland, there's a beautiful flowered Mickey that they have there. How many times a year do they completely replant that Mickey portrait? Okay.
Like take it all out and replant it?
They take everything out and they put in all new plantings, and they do it a certain amount of times each year. If you know the correct answer to that, email it to DisneyParksPodcast@gmail.com, or I'll post it up on the blog this week as well, and you can comment there. We'll post it on Facebook. You can comment there. And this week's prize, you should take a look at. We are giving away The Ultimate Guide to an Affordable Disney World Vacation by Kevin Barry. So it's not just our normal little willy-nilly thing that we're kind of giving away, a very nice book by Kevin Barry that can save you a lot of time and money. So don't forget to go check that out too. All right. Disney had made this quick little announcement that I found that there's going to be some changes to the Jungle Book ample theater opening times over at the Animal Kingdom. A test is being taken place right now at the Animal Kingdom, whereas the ample theater for the Jungle Book, Alive with Magic, will only open 20 minutes before the show. So that's a I don't know how long they were opening it before this test. Maybe more than that, but that's kind of weird.
This seems to me like they're trying to make sure that people don't save seats for an hour and a half.
Yeah. The hope is that the guests will take the extra time they would have been sitting in the theater to experience some of the nighttime attractions in the park.
Crowd control. You can't sit here.
So that tells us that people aren't going to the park for the nighttime attractions. They're just going for the show and leaving.
Yeah, and? But the problem is they'll run into the same problem that they have with Fantasmic.
Exactly.
Fantasmic is brutal.
Because
you stand in line for an hour, and then they open it up. Because they didn't say that they wouldn't have a queue to stand in.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Nice. So now you'll just be standing in a line for a very long time rather than sitting for a very long time.
Sweating with your buddies.
Yep. Picking your poison, my friends. I really hope that they bag this thing and give us the show that they promised us, because this is not on my favorite list of things they've done.
Well, I've heard nasty rumors. I've heard lots of rumors and speculation.
No, I'm sure.
You know, and it's awfully late in the game. It's the end of July. Summer is already awoken.
Yep.
It's about to go back to sleep.
Yep.
We'll see. Hey, but I do have some really good news.
Yeah.
Finding Dory is now the highest grossing animated film of all time.
That's crazy.
The sequel to 2003's Finding Nemo hit a gross domestic total of $445.5 million, making it the highest grossing domestic animated release ever. Now, that honor had been held by DreamWorks Shrek 2 since its release in 2004. Wow. It made $441.2 million, which shocks me. I thought that Frozen had like been the biggest movie ever. Apparently, I was incorrect.
Yeah.
So, Dory, which came out on June 15th, has also passed up Captain America Civil War for the top domestic earner of the year. The superhero film came in at $406.5 million. Finding Dory is not just a hit domestically. It's already brought in $721.7 million worldwide. Pixar is following up this animated sequel with a few more. In the queue is Cars 3 in 2017, Toy Story 4 in 2018, and The Incredibles 2, which I'm looking forward to, in 2019.
Yeah. I think I also read, too, that between Disney and Pixar, they've grossed more money in this half of the year than, like, some of all the other studios combined.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's Disney's just kind of fell into it. Let's see, Jungle Book was a hit,
right?
Which is good.
Yep.
You know, they've had the Marvel movies continue to be successful.
Right.
Pixar's done really well. Of course, they had a little stumble with A Good Dinosaur.
Yeah.
But they haven't had a movie that I can't remember. I didn't have one that bombed at the front of the year. Yeah, they did. They had Through the Looking Glass bomb at the front of the year. And they're still doing really well. Yeah.
That was the thump heard around the world.
Thunk. It was almost as bad as John Carter, which I love John Carter, by the way. It's still a great movie.
I mean, was that in the movie theater for more than a weekend? I don't think it was.
No, it was horrible. It was so bad.
Yeah. All right, kids. The only thing I can every time I see the word, hear the, it's always abra abra cadabra. Who wants to reach out and grab you?
Ah, Steve Miller.
Yeah,
that's a good tune.
Yeah, it is. That's a great song. So the Abracadabra Bar is now opened at Disney's Boardwalk. The Abracadabra opened recently. I think a couple days ago. The cocktail lounge is located next to the soon-to-be-opening Flying Fish in hopefully August, and on the other side of the Italian restaurant Trattoria El Forno. The lounge itself is not very large, and that's not very surprising, and it's available on a first-come, first-served basis. There's room for guests to be seated either on the couches or tables, whichever they choose. I'm sure this is like the Bellevue Lounge. You know, there's not a lot of space up there either. And that's probably what the Boardwalk needs, is a nice big, you know, lounge. The magic of the place really can be felt throughout as their posters mysteriously change and drinks can transform before your eyes. You'll also find great magician artifacts as well as other little knickknacks throughout. There's a cool effect to experience it, which is right next to and outside the bathrooms, which shows your face and what you really look like without no mirror distortion. So it's kind of weird effect that they're doing there. I'll have to see if I get...
while you're in the bathroom?
Outside the bathroom.
Oh, okay, because that would be weird.
Yeah, outside the bathroom.
Oh, your face looks like in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Let's be like,
I'm going to be over this way, I think this weekend or no. I think next weekend. I'll see if I can do some video, take some pictures. So the story behind the bar is the bar's – and there has to be a story, my friends. The story behind the bar's existence is that this used to be a little lounge with former stomping ground for famous magicians and boardwalk illusionists and lovely magician's assistants of the golden age. Their goal was to conjure up new cocktails, swap magic, tips and tricks until they all disappeared.
Poof.
So the bar is exceptionally busy in the evening. No surprise there. But guests can sit outside. There's even some seating outside, too, if you can bear the heat. I did see a drink that was kind of, you know, it's a magic trick in a sense. They put a glass and they fill it with, like, cotton candy. And then they have the drink in the shaker. And then they pour it into the you know, the thing and the cotton candy disappears, you know.
Yeah, so. They also have an absinthe drink there, too.
A what?
Absinthe.
What is that?
You don't know what absinthe is?
No.
Back in the, near the turn of the century, previous century, absinthe was a drink that people made that if they didn't get the mix right when they were making the absinthe, it would kill you, but it was a hallucinogenic.
Nice.
Yeah, so they've got like a commercial grade absinthe that they've been selling now. So, so yeah, they've got an absinthe based drink. So I give that a try. I've never had absinthe before. Yeah. So
all right,
you know,
all
so right. If you read an article, you know, Disney blogger loses his mind found running naked laps around the Disney Boardwalk Resort, screaming, "The sky is falling! The sky is falling!" It's probably me on absinthe.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry about that visual.
Yeah, but I'm going to Trattoria. I don't think, like I said, I think it's next weekend with some people. So I'll have to stop by there. Maybe I'll go early. And then maybe the group of us will go over there and bang out some of these cocktails. I have a hootenanny.
A hootenanny?
A hootenanny.
Oh, it'd be nice to go have a hootenanny. All right, so let's swing over to Epcot. It's very, very interesting. Very, very interesting story. Followed with a picture there. We got to put that picture up. We can put it on the blog. Height test balloons were discovered over Epcot as plans for Epcot's future world are beginning to take shape. The balloons are floated specifically near the Universe of Energy, currently home to Ellen's Energy Adventure Snooze Fest. If you've seen any of the previous construction projects, you'll know that the height test balloons are carried out to see how a building's sight lines may or may not impact the surrounding area. Typically, high points and corners of buildings are represented by balloons at the planned height of the structure, and then the visual impact is evaluated. A Guardians of the Galaxy-themed attraction is strongly tipped to be in the planning stages for this area of the park, and it may very well be that this attraction's structure is being evaluated. Unlike the recently opened Frozen Ever After that reused an existing ride system and building, the Guardians of the Galaxy attraction is thought to involve a completely new building requiring the complete removal of the Universe of Energy ride system. Now, the future of the actual building isn't clear at this point, but the closing and demolition of Energy would be a clear indication that management has a very different vision for future world at Epcot, moving away from the original edutainment concept and towards a blockbuster franchise, or blockbuster franchises, I should say.
Yeah.
Disney has not yet made a formal announcement, but in the picture, you see balloons that are pretty freaking high up in the air.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, are they gonna build a quasi tower?
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Makes you think. And all right, let's say it's not Guardians of the Galaxy. Let's say it's something else. What would they be putting there? What do we think this could be? I mean, these are pretty tall balloons, and they go pretty far out. There's 1, 2, 3, like 3, 4 different sets of balloons.
Right.
So it'd be interesting. And there's really, if they had a big building there, you could really only see the back of that building probably from the parking lot, because it sits really far back, you know, almost past Spaceship Earth.
Right.
Right? Or parallel to Spaceship Earth, so you really only would see a tall building. But I guess if you were, you know, at, you know, the World Showcase, would you really want to see a big building, you know?
Right.
Sticking out.
Right.
So that's the other question. I don't know. I'd like to see, I you know, if it's not Guardians of the Galaxy, what? You know?
If they could put Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm wondering what other Marvel properties they might be able to put in there. I mean, if they're going with Marvel properties, but I mean, they could put Star Wars. Well, they can't because they're doing Star Wars.
There's enough Star Wars stuff over in the other park.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'd have to assume that future world could almost become like a Marvel thing, but that would be weird. Sure. I mean, there's rules about that with Universal. So I, you know, it'd be very interesting to see what's going on. I'd love to be in on some of the planning sessions.
Yeah. Hey, call us. We could videotape them for you. Hey, we kind of want to give you a public service announcement. That's what I'm going to call this. We're going to tear out a little public service announcement page. You know, Halloween is right around the corner, and I thought it'd be interesting to go over some of these things. You know, Disney's kind of changing the rules for adults and what we can or cannot wear to a Halloween party. So I tore this right off Disney's, you know, own website. I'm not making any of these up. This is not rumor. This is new. This is factual information from the Disney site about the Halloween party. So keep this in mind while you're planning your Halloween costume. So it says, while we encourage creativity, we also value the safety and good judgment. Please take a moment to read over their newest and latest rules and regulations. So these are primarily for adults. We'll get to some kids stuff. So for adults, costume must be family friendly and may not be obstructive, offensive, objectionable, or violent. Guests who dress like characters may not pose for pictures or sign autographs for other guests. And I know I've seen this, and it will get you thrown out of the park. Costumes may not contain any weapons that resemble or could easily be mistaken for an actual weapon. Costumes may not contain sharp objects, pointed objects, or materials that may accidentally strike another guest. Layered costumes or costume props that surround the entire body are strongly discouraged and may be subject to additional security screening. Costumes may not reach or drag the ground. Example would be a full-length princess dress. Now, for your kids age 13 and under, costumes and some masks may be worn as long as the mask does not cover the entire face and the eyes are visible. For guests ages 14 and older, capes may be worn if the length does not go below the waist. Themed t-shirts, blouses, sweatshirts, and hats are acceptable. Acceptable accessories include transparent wigs, plastic lightsabers, toy swords, tutus.
I can't read.
Tutus. I'm thinking like, you know. Headwear may be worn as long as it does not cover the face, and masks of any kind may not be worn. Guests who do not adhere to these guidelines may be refused entry into and or removed unless his or her costume can be modified to meet the above standards. It's a new world, my friends, and Disney is not taking any chances with anybody's safety or security this year. And, you know, just, you know, get a t-shirt, make it look like your favorite character, and move on.
Well, now you can dine at Magic Kingdom quick service places and receive discount coupons for Disney Springs Marketplace, which is great. This is great. So on the 26th, which is what, today, beginning today, as we record this, during dining at select Magic Kingdom quick service restaurants will earn you discount coupons to use at Disney Springs Marketplace stores. What is that? What message is that sending?
We need your money here, but we want you to go over there and spend a little bit more of your money.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
No, that message is we built this premium shopping outlet and nobody's over there.
A lot of people are over there. I can't guarantee.
They're just not spending any money.
Right. Well, nobody wants to buy jeans.
Yeah.
You know, they want to go to the outlet mall to buy jeans. They don't want to spend $60 on a pair of jeans. They go to the outlet mall here for $20.
Exactly.
That's just me. What do I know? Okay, so the following Magic Kingdom restaurants are participating with the coupon printed on the receipt. So Aloha Isle, Anti-Gravity's, Casey's Corner, Cheshire Cafe, Columbia Harbor House, Cool Ship, Cosmic Ray, Starlight Cafe, Gaston's Tavern, Golden Oak Outpost, The Launching Pad, Pecos Bill's, Pinocchio Village House, Pecos Bill's Cafe is on here twice for some reason, Sleepy Hollow, Storybook Treat, Sunshine Tree Terrace, Tomorrowland Terrace, and the Village Fry Shop. So if you go to any of those places, we'll try to have these links up in the show notes. If you go to any of those places, you're going to possibly get a coupon worth 10% discount at the following Disney Springs Marketplace stores. Disney's Days of Christmas. Oh, I see what this is. Disney's Design-A-Tea. Disney's Pin Traders. Disney's Wonderful World of Memories. Goofy's Candy Company. The Marketplace Co-op. Marketplace Fun Finds. Mickey's Pantry. Once Upon a Toy. Trendy. And the World of Disney.
What do all those stores have in common, John?
Owned by Disney. Nobody's shopping there because they're all going to the new store.
No. They're all in the marketplace section.
They are. Yeah. That makes sense.
They're all in the marketplace section. So nobody's going over to the old school area.
Yeah.
We used to be the Market Village place. Yeah. Nobody's going over there anymore. They're all in the fancy new area.
Yeah. So go enjoy a nice quick service or other type of dining and get a little coupon, go to the marketplace, because you're going to go there anyway. You're going to go to the World of Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably going to go to Trendy. You're probably going to go to all those places. And if you're not, what are you thinking?
Right.
Just go. This offer is available from July 26th through September 4th and redeemable through to September 5th. Terms and conditions apply. Including not to be used in combination with any other discounts and not valid on certain items such as ticket media, DVDs, CDs, and gift cards. Check with a cast member before you purchase.
Yep. So the chat room is asking how these are done. It's usually printed on your receipt that you get. It's usually down at the bottom, kind of like the where you bought a meal or whatever, and then you would get $5 off in merchandise in the Magic Kingdom. Same kind of thing, but now they're telling you to go take your money and spend it over at Disney Springs. So
yeah, it's like when you get coupons when you go to the grocery store. Printed on the back of your receipt is
another coupon.
$5 off dry cleaning at the Moa Joe's.
Yep. All right. Hey, if you have an electric vehicle, Disney is making it a little bit easier to get your charge on. They're putting some new charging stations over at the Magic Kingdom TTC parking lot. The TTC parking lot is primarily for the Magic Kingdom, obviously, and all the other deluxe resorts in the area, and will soon offer 4 EV chargers. These are provided by ChargePoint. The chargers are the same fast charging level 2 stations that can be found at Disney Springs, Animal Kingdom, and Epcot. Although the chargers are in place, they're not active yet, so don't go there. They will be over in the Zorg lot near the disability parking. And also, if you do this, you can go to ChargePoint website. I did look this up. And you can get like a card, and I think you get a little bit of a discount if you charge up your card on their website. Probably a little bit better than probably going right to the charging point and getting it there. So that's it.
Excellent. Well, we talked about this a little earlier. There are some more menu changes coming to Sunset Boulevard at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So they're changing the entire park, and they're like, let's change the menu as well. Yeah. So to offer guests more of a variety of new food options, beginning on August 2nd, Disney is going to begin serving up some great new menu items within the Sunset Ranch Market area at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Inspired by the fresh selections traditionally found at a farmer's market, a selection of baked potatoes, which we talked about earlier, will be available at Fairfax Fair, including the Fairfax 1-pound baked potato with the tri-tip beef gravy and cheddar, which we talked about, and the loaded Fairfax potato with sour cream, cheddar, and bacon. I've also read that they're bringing in some other menu items that we don't have in this story. And that's great.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure I'm going to want to eat a big old fat potato at a theme park in the middle of, and go ride Tower of Terror.
Yeah, I agree. And I like that part of there. There's usually a part of the park. There's usually some good food options, but you have to eat outside. And I usually want to sit down, relax, and cool down, and I can't do that if I'm eating outside. So although the food may be good, You know, I wish they would just cover that area in air conditioning, you know, call it quits, you know, because... Right.
You know. I would love for them to also bring in some of the aspects like they have over California Adventure, where they have, you know, more like an upscale wine area, even if even if it's not serving a lot of wine, but they have like the wine place up there near, was it Blue Sky?
Yeah.
They got the building. It's got Blue Sky on one side. They got the winery thing on the other. Then you've got like some box lunches and stuff that you can, or box dinners that you can take from there too. I would like to see something a little bit more substantial like that. You know, I don't need the Coney stuff from like Cars Land. I don't need that. I don't need a big 1 pound potato.
Yeah.
You know, give me a nice fresh sandwich and some nice fresh sides.
Right.
And you know, maybe throw in a nice nice wine from the Lassiter Farms or Lassiter Vintage. You know, I would be cool with that. I think that would be nice if they really want to make a substantial change to the menu there. I think that would be something that would go over really well too.
Yeah, they do have things like that, the nice wine and tapas, but it's at the Brown Derby little outside eating area, and that area is very small.
Right.
That really needs to be bigger, or put something like that somewhere else.
Very difficult to get into that as well.
Yeah. Now they were also trying it in the writer's stop with the cheese board, and they had more wines and beers available there too, but once again, you really don't have a place to sit. There's only
High tops.
Yeah, three high tops, and that's it. And there's nothing outside because the rest of that area of the park is under construction. They're not going to be putting tables and chairs.
Yeah, and high tops are not super comfortable or relaxing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not for me, short people. It takes me a step stool to get up there, and then I feel like I'm jumping off a ledge when I have to get down.
Yep. There you go. So.
All right, kids, that's it for this week's show. We love to hear what you think. Send us your email at DisneyParksPodcast@gmail.com. Holy mackerel, I am tongue-tied tonight all of a sudden. Thank you for listening. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you hanging out with us, if you did so in the chat room and on the live feed. And that's it, kids. As we'd like to say around here, we'll see ya in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. One reach upon the star, your dream.